Nightlife. Bite-sized history.
If I say Pine Gap, what do you honestly know about it? You might know that it's an American base sitting on land not far from Alice Springs, that it was established in 1966, but what exactly goes on there? Is it a joint US-Australian Space Defence Research Facility, as its name tells us, or is it really an American spy base run by the CIA? And should the Australian public believe anything they've been told about it over the course of its 53-year history, given the climate of secrecy that surrounded it? Tom Gilling, the author of a number of books, is the author of a new one called Project Rainfall, The Secret History of Pine Gap. He's been digging into declassified records to construct the story of Pine Gap's history, and is here to tell us that we've been essentially kept in the dark over what exactly happens at Pine Gap. Tom, good evening and welcome to Nightlife.
Thanks, Philip.
Great to have you with us. Well, is it a secret CIA base?
It is for sure a secret CIA base, yes. But we do share in its secrets now.
Always has been.
Yes. It was started by the CIA. They'd been spying on Russian missiles for years, and they'd got various ways of doing that. One was with spy planes, but they were tended to be shot down. They had low-flying satellites that dropped material in a bucket that had to be collected back on Earth. And so they then devised a way of having high-orbit geosynchronous satellites, which just sit over the equator. But they needed somewhere to receive broadcast the signals from those satellites. And they needed somewhere in the middle of the continent. They needed somewhere that couldn't be intercepted by Russian spies. And Australia offered the perfect site.
Take us back to the 1960s when the Americans first approached Australia about building a base at Pine Gap. So this is the reason they wanted to set it up, was it?
It was, yes.
Why there? Is it a geographical reason that it's set up there?
The satellites were positioned over the equator, so it needed to be somewhere in a particular part of the globe, and so it needed to. So we fitted the definition of where on the planet it needed to be, but you couldn't have a place that was in too populated an area, for example, the Philippines.
Why not?
Because it would probably be crawling with Russian spies on the ground, and Russian spies crawling around Alice Springs or the fence of Pine Gap would tend to be noticed. But most importantly, it had to be somewhere that was secure from interception for the downloaded signals from the satellite. So anywhere that was in range of a Russian ship was vulnerable to interception. So somewhere in the middle of a continent was safe.
Safe from attack?
Not safe from attack, for sure, but safe from interception.
Okay. Was the Australian government ever told about what the facility was for? Because we all were told that it was a joint space defence research facility. Well, that was just all so much BS, was it?
It was BS, yes, for sure. The research side of it was BS, absolutely. In fact, even the joint side of it was BS for quite a while. The Australians tended to be gardeners and drivers and laundrymen, and the spies were all American. But there were secret protocols behind the public treaty, so it would have been known in government exactly what it was doing. Quite how far they were going and quite what they were getting would probably have been a secret that the Americans would have kept to themselves for some years.
So there were no Australians in the control rooms there, looking at the data as it came in?
Not for quite a few years, no. There was a long list of all the Australians who would be required, but they were all menial jobs.
So was it from the beginning a CIA-run place?
Yes, it was the CIA that chose the site. It was the CIA that was in charge of it. There are several agencies there, the National Reconnaissance Office, the National Security Agency. Various American agencies were in there, but the CIA had always had control of American surveillance of Soviet missiles, and so the CIA was really the top dog there.
Did people in the Australian government know, or did only some people know what was actually going on there?
Only some people, for sure.
Who would have known?
The Prime Minister would have known. A succession of Prime Ministers
would have known.
So
Gough Whitlam would have known.
Would have known roughly. Well, Gough Whitlam has said that he didn't know everything that was going on there.
No,
Gorton has said that he didn't know everything that was going on there.
Yeah.
But they would have known a certain amount. They would have known most of it, and their defence minister, Alan Fairhall, would have known. But it was his business to make sure that nobody else knew. So Parliament certainly didn't know, and opposition, even shadow ministers.
So some of the defence top brass, would they have known or not?
Some of them, I dare say, would have been would have known, because we certainly were taking product, as they called it, from early on. So some would have known, some in high intelligence circles, but it was never accountable to Parliament in any meaningful way, and arguably still isn't.
Yeah, it might surprise some people to know that in this period when Australia was allowing this thing to be built, that we were actually considering whether to allow a Soviet base as well. What was going on there?
That was bizarre, wasn't it?
Why was that even a consideration? I mean, this was the height of the Cold War.
It was. I think it was a sort of scientist-to-scientist negotiations were going on there. Right. And rather bizarrely, the Americans said they wouldn't object to that, provided that no secret information was going out from the Russian base to the Russian station in Western Australia back to Moscow. So as long as it was purely a civil project, but realistically, I think it was never going to happen. And it was, even though it kept on being periodically revived, it was never actually built.
Does the whole thing smacks a bit of the UK and their atomic tests here? Does it that we just lay down and said yes?
Well,
without asking too many questions.
Quite right. Des Ball, who was an ANU academic, who's probably the best authority on Pine Gap, wrote a book describing it as a suitable piece of real estate. Mm. And that's largely what it was. We were the one country in the world that could offer the ideal site for it, and we had a government willing enough to accept the CIA on the terms that they were willing to offer, which initially were definitely more favourable to them than to us.
The thing that always puzzles me, maybe puzzles others, about all this secrecy malarkey, is that who are you keeping the secrets from? Because presumably the Soviets knew full well what the base was and what it did, didn't they?
I'm sure they did, yeah, because the thing about when they were originally downloading what it was originally there for was to listen to Soviet missile tests.
Yeah.
So the Soviets who were monitoring their own missile tests would have known what information was being taken and where it was being taken to. Mm. And so yes, I think it's quite sure that they would have known, because also an awful lot of American publications were revealing information that was never revealed here. So even on the public record, and this was spoken by several critics of the secrecy of the Australian government, they would say that you can actually find out a lot of this in open source material in America, and the Russians would certainly be reading that.
Mm. There's always been a conspiracy theory around, hasn't there, that the CIA was involved in the sacking of Whitlam, because maybe Whitlam was about to spill the beans on Pine Gap. It seems to be a bit far-fetched to me. What do you make of it?
Yeah, I think that is far-fetched. On the other hand, the CIA was certainly involved in covering up its role there, and that was one of the reasons why in fact just before Whitlam was removed, it was suddenly hit the news headlines that CIA agents were there masquerading as simple Pentagon officials. So certainly information was coming to Gough Whitlam quite late about what was really going on, and he hit the roof when he found out that this information was being withheld from him.
Yeah. The Americans, you say, never used to pass on any information, but they do now. Is that it?
Well, they passed on a certain amount of information according to these private treaties that were signed before. So we did have access to a certain amount, but we had no technical staff in the operations room for some years after it started. So there would have been a period where it was very hard to know whether we were getting everything. We were certainly getting something.
Has any government ever come close to deciding to close it?
The Americans actually came close to deciding to close it, because they were getting so much grief from the left wing of the Labour Party. And in the 1970s, Whitlam was trying to do his best to suppress that opposition because he wasn't keen to close it, although occasionally he made the threat that he would close it. Mm. So possibly the closest that came was with the Americans actually making serious costings of removing it, closing it, transplanting it to somewhere else. So the Americans were probably coming closer to closing it than the Australian government ever was.
Mm. It is bizarre, isn't it? Because, I mean, for a long time, our government wouldn't tell us anything that was going on there at all. And the only person who would was Des Ball.
Exactly.
Des Ball was an academic at ANU.
He was.
I presume the CIA had a big file on him too, did they?
I wouldn't be surprised that they did, but certainly ASIO had a big file on him. And in fact, I found the ASIO file on him down at the National Archives in Canberra. And yes, they'd been following him from the days when he was a ratbag student radical. And yes, they were following the ANU academics who went up to Pine Gap to sort of nose around the barbed wire fence. They couldn't get in, but they would sniff around to see what they could see from outside. And ASIO agents were certainly following them around.
Mm. What role did it play in the First and Second Gulf Wars?
Well, Snowden revealed, Edward Snowden, who leaked thousands of National Security Agency documents, revealed a lot of that. What it was doing was detecting and geolocating signals from mobile phones, so before drone attacks, but also it was listening to, for example, Scud missile launches. So it was trying to identify exactly where they were coming from, because the Scud missiles were quite a threat in the early days of the Gulf War. And Pine Gap certainly played a role in listening to those and being able to tip off the American military of the whereabouts of the Scud launchers. But then it did move into playing a much greater role in identifying targets for drone strikes.
Hmm. I'm talking with author Tom Gilling. He's written a book about Pine Gap and trying to uncover just how much we know about the place. It played a role in drone attacks in Afghanistan too.
It did. And so there have been official, if you want to call them that, official wars where America has been involved, where there have been drone strikes, but also unofficial ones, undeclared wars in Yemen and other places. And a lot of those, the information for targeting the people who are going to be subject to airstrikes has come via Pine Gap.
So do Australians work there now?
For sure, yeah.
What, on an equal basis?
Yeah.
Since when's that happened?
Probably for a couple of decades, they've had 50-50 representation there.
Okay.
And an American.
So are we allowed to use? So does Australia use it for its own purposes? I mean, for example, when they were listening into the mobile phone of the wife of the Indonesian president.
Yes.
Did those signals go through Pine Gap?
They would have done, yes. And Des Ball has said that we have used it for our own purposes. We can assume very strongly that we're spying on Indonesia, we're spying on China, we're spying on areas that are of interest to us that may not be of particular interest to the Americans, but we probably get a relatively small proportion of the airtime.
So what can Pine Gap do? Can it listen to any mobile signal in the world, for example, can it?
Well, according to evidence that Des Ball gave to the Parliamentary Standing Committee on Treaties in 1999, it can listen to private mobile communications.
Anyway.
Yes. Within
our geostationary part of the world.
Exactly, here. Within our area,
So, in other words, it is a military target, isn't it?
It's definitely a military target. Yeah. Well, the Australian government has denied that it was a
military target. But it's an obvious military target.
Yes. Malcolm Fraser actually commissioned a report from the Office of National Assessments in 1980. And it was a top secret report, but that has been declassified now. And they found that although the prospect of nuclear war in the Northern Hemisphere was relatively low, if there was a nuclear war, then Pine Gap and Northwest Cape and Woomera would all be targets.
As some have suggested, a control center for American nuclear submarines?
Northwest Cape is that, yeah, not Pine Gap. Pine Gap is strictly a listening station.
How many Americans are there now? Well, it's still a CIA-controlled place, you say. How many Americans work there?
I think overall, I think there's now 1,000, 1,200 altogether maybe, and half of those would be Americans. But a lot of them are now military staff. So that's been a change that that Des Ball noted from some years back, that the staff there, which used to be largely civilian, was becoming increasingly military personnel because its operations are increasingly military now. It's part of it's a crucial arm of the American military, particularly in this so-called war on terror.
When's the lease up?
The lease is up every 10 years, but is always renegotiated.
Fascinating. Tom, excellent to talk. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Phil.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.